This is DW News live from Berlin. Britain's prime minister fights for his political life. Boris Johnson tells Parliament he will fully cooperate with a new police investigation into parties held at his residence during lockdown as public anger grows. Also coming up, the leaders of Germany and France join forces calling on Russia to de-escalate tensions with Ukraine. The two say they will continue to pursue dialogue with Russia, but warn there will be a high price to pay if there is an attack on Ukraine. Plus, Joe Biden in hot water after a hot mic mishap. The U.S. president is overheard insulting a Fox News reporter. We'll get the details from our correspondent in Washington. I'm Sumi Somaskanda. It's good to have you with us. British Prime Minister Boris Johnson is fighting for political survival after London's Metropolitan Police said they are opening an investigation into parties at No. 10 Downing Street that breached COVID-19 lockdown restrictions. That's in addition to an internal inquiry that could be published within hours. Meanwhile, calls for Johnson's resignation over the Partygate scandal are growing louder by the day.
Boris Johnson is under fire again for attending his own birthday party at Downing Street in June 2020, a party that broke lockdown rules at the time. London's Metropolitan Police have now launched an inquiry into a series of possible lockdown breaches at Boris Johnson's office and residence.
So I welcome the Met's decision to conduct its own investigation because I believe this will help to give the public the clarity it needs and help to draw a line under matters.
At the time, COVID restrictions did not allow more than two people to meet indoors. And a series of leaks suggest that a string of illegal social gatherings took place at Downing Street. This particular one was a surprise, thrown by his wife and attended by several others.
What we know is that 30 people gathered, that his wife was there, and that the interior designer was there as well. If it was my birthday, and my wife and an interior designer rocked up at work. There was Christmas cake, or birthday cake, and a celebration. It breaches the rules.
As the investigation looms, calls for Johnson to resign are increasing across the political spectrum.
I think the public have made their minds up. I think public opinion has already concluded that he broke the rules that he made, and that he hasn't told the truth about it. That means he hasn't got the authority to lead the country when we're in the middle of huge challenges. And therefore, he has to go for the good of the country.
For now, Johnson may still sound bullish, but if enough Conservative MPs decide their leader has gone too far, the Prime Minister could be forced to resign.
I apologize sincerely.
Earlier, we spoke to our London correspondent, Charlotte Shelson-Pill, and asked about Boris Johnson's chances of political survival at this point.
There is an enormous amount of anger after this allegation after allegation of essentially the people who made the rules weren't then following the rules themselves. But it won't be the public who decides the Prime Minister's future at this particular juncture. Of course, he has the option to resign if the findings of that internal report or the police investigation are particularly damning. He's so far absolutely ruled out the question of resigning. So the real question now is, will his own members of Parliament, his own MPs in the Conservative Party, turn on him? And that is very much open for debate at the moment. Will enough members of his own party decide that they don't have enough confidence in him? Now, of course, the longer this drags on, the longer this is, or the more damaging this is for the party. Many seem to be waiting for the outcome of the inquiry, this Sue Gray inquiry, before deciding on the Prime Minister's future. If that is indeed released tomorrow, we could see perhaps some MPs making a decision on the Prime Minister's future.
The leaders of Germany and France have met in Berlin to coordinate their response to tensions between Russia and Ukraine. The two committed to doing everything possible to resolve the situation through diplomacy. But they also renewed warnings to Moscow that it would pay a high price if it attacks Ukraine. Meanwhile, Western nations have put troops on alert and stepped up arms deliveries to Ukraine.
An eagerly awaited arrival at Kyiv airport. Military equipment sent by the United States to shore up Ukraine as it braces for a possible Russian invasion. It's the third shipment, but it's not enough to resist a bigger and better equipped army, government officials say.
Please help us to convince the German government to be more proactive. We urgently need defensive weapons. We're alone. We're not in NATO. Nobody will send those troops, not even the Americans. We have to defend ourselves.
But Germany's new government has not answered the calls. At a meeting with French President Emmanuel Macron in Berlin, Chancellor Olaf Scholz once again ruled out sending heavy weapons to Kiev.
There are reasons for this, which of course do stem from developments over past years and decades. Nevertheless, we have, of course, done a lot to actively support economic development and the development of democracy in Ukraine with financial possibilities and international responsibilities that we have. And that's why Ukraine knows that it can rely on Germany, and I think that also shapes politics to a large extent.
An approach that has earned Berlin heavy criticism from some of its Eastern European partners and from Kiev itself. And while German and French representatives prepare to meet with their Ukrainian and Russian counterparts on Wednesday to seek a diplomatic solution, some Ukrainians are preparing for the worst. On the outskirts of their capital, these civilian volunteers are undergoing military training to defend their country on their own, if need be.
Let's get a roundup of some other headlines now. The European Union has condemned a decision by Russian authorities to add jailed opposition leader Alexei Navalny and eight of his top allies to a registry of terrorists and extremists. After surviving being poisoned with a nerve agent, Navalny was jailed last year for alleged parole violations. Poland has begun the construction of a wall along its eastern border with Belarus. The 186-kilometer-long wall is aimed at deterring migrant crossings after thousands attempted to enter Poland last year. Warsaw alleges Belarusian authorities encouraged migrants to fly to Minsk and then help them reach the EU border. The European Court of Human Rights has ruled that Turkey's detainment of a German-Turkish journalist was an infringement of his personal rights. Turkey arrested Deniz Yücel in February 2017, accusing him of writing terrorist propaganda. He was detained for 290 days. The court has ordered Ankara to pay 13,000 euros in compensation. And power supplies are gradually returning to Tonga after the eruption of an undersea volcano 10 days ago. But now, nearly two dozen sailors on an Australian military ship delivering aid have tested positive for COVID-19. Australia is working with Tongan authorities to keep the ship at sea. Tonga has so far avoided any COVID outbreaks. Hundreds of people have marched through the streets of Burkina Faso's capital, Ouagadougou, in a show of support for the new military-led junta. It ousted President Roch Kabore on Monday after widespread protests against his government. It is the latest in a series of coups in West Africa in recent weeks.
Taking it to the streets, jubilation and relief that now, after years of Islamist terror attacks, something will be done. We are very, very happy because the Burkina army has taken its responsibility. This is what we've been asking for a long time. They've assumed their responsibility, and we are proud of them. The military announced the coup live on television, saying they'd taken former President Roch Kabore into custody. They also posted what they said is a letter of resignation. Kabore's whereabouts are unknown. His government had struggled to respond to years of Islamist attacks, such as the incident last November, in which 49 police officers were killed. The coup has been condemned widely outside Burkina Faso. The UN and the US have called for civilian leadership to be restored. The ECOWAS group of neighboring West African countries has also condemned it. But many here want to turn away from their neighbors and their Western backers. ECOWAS is with the Western countries. But the people of Burkina Faso do not agree with them. We want them to leave us alone and let us live with dignity. with our valiant soldiers who have brought us out of the bad times. We strongly support Russia, and we call on it to engage with our new government to define a new strategic plan for securing the region. Enough is enough. Too many deaths, too many refugees. While celebrations continue, Burkina Faso's neighbors say they'll hold an emergency summit in the coming days to decide on their response.
Earlier, we spoke with our West Africa correspondent, Amaka Okoye, and asked her whether the celebrations we saw reflect the sentiments of the majority in Burkina Faso.
What we saw today is not just in Ouagadougou. We have seen a lot of, you know, Burkinabes coming out and celebrating this whole coup that has happened. We've seen such as well in Kaya, which is the fifth largest city in Burkina Faso and across board. So essentially, we've seen what that means is that indeed the people are happy because they are saying, well, what the civilian rule cannot give us, the military, you know, they've come now to do that. And an activist was heard today saying that, you know, they've been asking the now deposed President Kabore to leave because he's not able to take care of the security situation, but he's refused. But now the military have done that and they are happy. So indeed, it kind of echoes that sentiment of satisfaction and happiness for the people of Burkina Faso.
In the U.S., President Joe Biden is feeling the heat from rising inflation, and it seems to have shortened his temper. Biden sarcastically lashed out at a news reporter who asked if rising prices were a political problem for him.
That's a great asset. More inflation. What a stupid son of a bitch.
All right, let's go right to our Washington Bureau Chief, Inez Bull, for more on this story. Hi, Inez. You know, President Biden has been known in the past to be prone to outbursts and gaffes, but this remark really has sparked a lot of controversy. So tell us more what's been happening.
Yeah, right. I mean, Biden, as you just said, Sumi, has had such dropouts throughout his long career. But after that disastrous press conference last week and now getting caught on that hot mic moment, some people here really raise the question if he's still fit for office. I mean, especially given the immense stress he's under, not only domestically, but also internationally with the pending Ukraine conflict that definitely needs a fit American commander-in-chief.
What do you think this outburst in particular tells us about how things are looking for his presidency right now?
Well, we are watching a presidency that is having an extremely difficult time finding its footage. I mean, attempting the balancing act of dealing with the political reality stateside and deal with these tremendous challenges across the Atlantic. So it seems basically each day President Biden has to put out fires in places where many political observers did not expect to see: Russia, Afghanistan, and an unstable economy. So this is really putting this administration to the brink.
Yeah, we know that inflation is such a hot button issue in the U.S. right now. With his approval rating suffering and the Democrats also as a party struggling to get anything passed, how do things look for the midterms coming up in November?
Right, Sumi. Historically, the party in charge always loses its power after the midterms. But this time, the Democrats are expected to lose not just the majority in the Senate, but even in the House. That essentially leaves the president in a powerless position to govern. And on top of that, you just mentioned that the divide between the progressives and the moderates of his own party is also much bigger than he and others expected. So when the midterms will come later in November this year, it will be extremely difficult for the Democrats to ask the Americans to put them back in charge when they believe nothing has been passed, also because of the internal fighting within the Democratic Party.
Our Washington Bureau Chief, Inez Bull, thank you so much. Before we go, a real-life James Bond moment may soon no longer be the stuff of fantasy, at least in one European country. Slovakia's transport authority has deemed a flying car to be airworthy. The air car earned its wings after extensive test flights, and the company says certification opens the door to mass production. The hybrid vehicle takes around 2 minutes to transform from plane to car and takes regular gas at the pump. But aviation experts say it'll still be some time before flying cars really take off. DW Business with Chelsea Delaney is up next. Stay tuned.